I'm told that if you go to the Anglican Cathedral in Sydney, Australia, you'll see a picture. I think it's a stained glass window. It's a picture of the Ascension with the apostles looking up to heaven. It actually shows 12 apostles, which is a bit strange because, as you know, Judas was no longer with them and Matthias had not been appointed to take his place. But anyway, there are 12 of them, and one of them is wearing a long blue dress, you know, the sort of thing you get in Victorian Bible illustrations. The figure also has a bushy beard, which doesn't quite sit right. Then you realize the picture originally showed Jesus' mother standing with the group. And indeed, if you read the Acts of the Apostles, it's very clear that as they return to the temple, Jesus' mother is there praying with them. Anyway, obviously at some stage, the cathedral authorities decided that this didn't fit with their low church sensitivities. And so they changed the identity and indeed the gender of that figure. We may laugh, yes, but actually there is a serious side to it. You do actually distort the church's teaching about Jesus if you try to airbrush Mary out of the picture. Why do I say this? Well, let's look at the times Mary appears in the Bible. First of all, there is the appearance of the Archangel Gabriel with the message that God has called her to a particular task. God is not a distant figure on a cloud. He breaks into our lives. He works with us and shapes us. Just like in one of my favorite images, a potter shapes a lump of clay into a beautiful piece of porcelain. In one of his meditations, the great Victorian churchman John Henry Newman wrote, "God has created me to do him some definite service. He has created some work to me, which he has not committed to another. He has not created me for nothing." In all our different ways, the message to the angel is a message to us too. And for us too, it can be life-changing as God lifts up the lowly and fills the hungry with good things. And so Mary has her starring role in the nativity play. It's great fun for the children to dress up. Another way of showing how our story and God's story are woven together. But we lose something of its impact if we treat the Nativity as an "ah" kind of story. St. Francis of Assisi is credited for creating the first Nativity scene as far back as 1223. When he used real animals and a newborn baby to show the essere terroso, the earthiness which God embraces and redeems. Without Mary, you can't have any of this. And without the messy beauty of the Nativity, the human nature of Jesus is lost. He becomes no longer a human being like us, but some sort of abstraction. No longer Jesus, but the Christ, the Anointed One, a title, a job description, if you like, in a theoretical conception of salvation and atonement. Whereas God's way is an actual conception in the womb of a woman. Then Jesus is placed in Mary's arms as a baby in that messy stable, but also later covered in the messiness of death when he is taken down from the cross. An ancient title of Our Lady is Theotokos, or God-bearer, the one who carries God and brings him to birth, brings him into the world. As the Word became flesh, so God places himself into our hands, as he does also under the outward form of bread and wine at the Eucharist. In so doing, he takes a huge risk that we will reject and despise him, cut him down to a manageable size, or get rid of him altogether, as we read in that wonderful prologue to St. John's Gospel. And indeed, this is the outcome we see when her dead son is held in his mother's arms. It also shows that God was willing to take that risk out of sheer love for us. He continues to place himself into our hands. Indeed, as we eat and drink, he is willing to be quite literally embodied in us. And we are commanded to go in peace, to love and serve the Lord. We, like Mary, are tasked with carrying him and bringing him into the world in all places where we are, with all their messiness, their beauty, in our lowliness, but also in the great things he is doing for us. So in brief, Mary points us to Jesus, fully man and fully God. She is our forerunner, our model of Christian discipleship. So let us say with the angel, "Greetings, Mary. The Lord is with you." Amen.